I was a dead man, out in the cold. Life was a pit and I was deep in a hole, just about to give up. Then lo and behold, a voice from within said, save your soul. Yo, brothers and sisters all around the globe, I got a story, word, it's gotta be told to my family, friends, fans, even my foes. It's like this, y'all, this is how it goes. I was out in the world without a name or a goal, huh, out of school and out of control, set in my ways, yeah, stuck in the mold, and going the wrong way down a one-way road. Young and bold, I didn't wanna be told, I used to steal and brag about the stuff I stole. Then one bright day, my mind got blown, when a voice from within said, save your soul. No, I didn't wanna be told. Things were looking up, and I was on the roll. I was a rude boy, and a Romeo. And anywhere I went, I started the show. I had money, woman, plenty of gold, and an overinflated EGO. I was a dead man, but I didn't know until a voice from within said, save your soul. A movie, and I was playing the role of a black youth living in the ghetto, where the action was, that's where I'd go. Right or wrong, I'll be going with the flow, but what you reap is what you sow. It's like karma, the bad you do will follow you around, and I was going down, right down, with my face in the ground, two hands bound to a siren sound, none of my so-called friends anywhere to be found. As I thought to myself, in life you're alone, a voice from within said, anyone home? Yes, Lord, well here I be, if I ain't ready yet, I will never be. I'm sorry for the things that I did before, believe me, Lord, I won't do them no more. I'll be an arrow, if you will be my bow, and anywhere I'm sent, I'll gladly go. I'll be a witness all around the world, to every man, every woman, every boy and girl. Cause I was born in the ghetto with a strong survive, and with a will to strive, I began to rise. From 79, or was it 75, when reggae music began to open my eyes about the truth, the right, Jah the Most High, and how to achieve that little pie in the sky. Inspirated, yeah, I was totally motivated, to the point where I decided to chat the mic. But my direction was not to only those of my complexion, but the brown, yellow, red, and the white man. Critics criticize, cynics cynicize, any entertainer with a message they victimize. But in this world of sin, it's no surprise. So with the media, I sympathize. I hear the rich man's laughter, hear the poor man's cries. Hypocrites advertise their lies through their eyes. Everyone's born, most of us die, but only God's children get the prize. Don't be a fool, be cool, come on and get wise. Yeah, wise up, no compromise. And listen to the voice that resides within your mind. Cause God has sent a guide to all mankind. Choice is yours, life above or death below. It's up to you to save your soul.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's R-E-B-E-C-C-A-L-A-W-L-O-R Limited.com.
Hello. Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Thank you for joining us here on Soul Sister Radio. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and we are having some blog talk technical difficulties today, but we are here. We are here live, and we are here with the advocate, Susan Shengazar. Susan, take it away.
Good afternoon, and welcome to The Advocate. I am Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate against domestic violence, sexual abuse of women and children. I will not stop fighting for you. I just want to thank all of you listeners to come each week and listen. And I just want to say to the ones who called in last week, you have three books. They're in the mail to you, and I hope you enjoy. Please post a review on Google for me. I just want to say today that we have an amazing guest who is coming on our show named Ashley, and in just a few minutes we'll introduce her. But I wanted to take a moment to read something that's dated April 18th. It's in Grace for the Moment by Max Lucado, a wonderful devotional. It says, "Not perfect, but forgiveness. Christ had no sin, but God made him become sin so that in Christ we could become right with God." 2 Corinthians 5:21. It wasn't the Romans who nailed Jesus to the cross. It wasn't the spikes that held Jesus to the cross. What held him to that cross was his conviction that was necessary, that he become sin, that he who is pure becomes sin, that the wrath of God be poured down, not upon the creation, but upon the Creator. When the one who knew no sin became sin for us, when the sinless one was covered with all the sins of the world, God didn't call his army of angels to save him. He didn't, because he knew he would rather give up his son than give up on us. So regardless of what you've done, it's not too late. Regardless of how far you've fallen, it's not too late. It doesn't matter how the low and how the mistake is, it's not too late to dig down. Pull out that mistake, then let it go and be free. What makes a Christian is not perfection, but forgiveness, walking with the Savior. And today on our show, we have a woman who I will call Ashley Bell. And I met this woman over a year ago. And so Ashley is a small business owner. She's a certified anger management specialist here in Los Angeles County. She moved to the West Coast 3 years ago in pursuit of her aspirations in the entertainment business. Ashley has experienced a few stumbling blocks in her transition to the West Coast that could have hindered her progress, but her faith in God is what gave her peace of mind and helped her to overcome. I will let Ashley pronounce her last name, and I will introduce Ashley to us. Come on the show, Ashley.
Hello, everyone out there listening. My name is Ashley, and my last name is actually Oshilaja. Bell is my maiden name. And I'm so happy to be here with you all today. And I just wanted to tell you guys a story of how I met Susie, and also of, you know, how God, like, brought me over from the situation I was going through. I'd actually come to Los Angeles to pursue an entertainment career, but sometimes our plans are not God's plans. I didn't consult with God before coming here. I just up and decided I wanted to move from Memphis, Tennessee to Los Angeles. And upon coming here, I had originally come to be with a few relatives, but when I got here, things were totally different from what I had assumed they would be like. So I had to struggle and you know, kind of try to set a foundation for myself. And while I was here, I ended up meeting a guy, like, briefly after I'd gotten here. Well, quickly after I got, right after I'd gotten here. And upon meeting him, it wasn't long after him and I had decided to marry. And that was less than a year of knowing him, I'd marry him. Not consulting God, not, you know, seeking anyone else's advice. I just decided to do it because I felt it was right in my spirit. Which my spirit was wrong because, like I said, I didn't consult with God first about it. And I had married this guy, and I thought everything would be perfect because he seems perfect before I married him. But possibly a few months after marrying him, it just turned into something else. There was domestic abuse, there was verbal abuse, there was neglect. It was just a lot of chaos on both ends. And so possibly about a year after marrying him, probably about some months after marrying him, I decided, you know what, I need to go and get an annulment or a divorce. And when I went to see attorneys about getting a divorce, I was having some stomach pains and realized that I needed to go and take a pregnancy test or so. And once I left the attorney's office, I went to take a pregnancy test and realized I was pregnant and had no clue. I didn't even think I could get pregnant because I'd been told since 21 I was diagnosed with a PCOS. I don't know if you all have heard of that, but it's polycystic ovarian syndrome, and it's a genetic disorder, and it hinders your fertility. And I didn't think I could get pregnant, and that was another sign of God showing me who he was. You can get pregnant because I'm God. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
And so upon me finding I was pregnant, I was devastated. I wasn't devastated that I was pregnant because I had longed to get pregnant for so many years. I was devastated because I'd gotten pregnant by this man who I married just off the whim because I needed someone at that time. I felt alone here in Los Angeles. I was striving to make it by myself, and he was the person that kind of swept me off my feet at that vulnerable time and showed me, you know, and basically helped me and just was there for me for moral support and everything. And so I had basically tried to cope with the pregnancy, and I was stressed, and I had even contemplated suicide during that time. I was just a mess. And some way, like probably about a month or two after, I think it was about a month and a half after, you know, the pregnancy situation, after I found out I was pregnant, I was having some problems, some feminine problems. And so I went to the ER at Providence Holy Medical Cross Center. And there I was informed after the doctors had done ultrasounds and everything, blood tests, I was informed by a doctor and a nurse came in, which was Susie, and they told me that I was either having an ectopic pregnancy or they couldn't see the baby. And the first option the doctor had given me was to go ahead and abort the entire pregnancy. And that right there just tore me apart. I didn't really have any moral support. I had family in the Los Angeles area, but they weren't, like, close enough to me for me to get to, and I hadn't dealt with my family a lot during that time. And my husband at that time, he's still my husband, although he and I were fighting, he still would have come in, but I possibly would have, you know, kind of pushed the issue enough, but I didn't even push it. I just wanted to go to the hospital by myself at that time, and he was working as well, and he couldn't leave work because of the field he worked in. And I was at the hospital by myself in the labor and delivery department. And upon being in the labor and delivery department, I discovered that I was losing my child. Like, I was literally losing this child that I had longed for. I didn't want it by the man I was having it by because I wanted to divorce him. But at the same time, you know, I was at a crossroads at that time. I didn't know what to do. And so with the doctor, he came into me. The doctor was really cold. He was heartless. I was already broken and hurt and stressing about, you know, my marital situation and how I was going to get out of it and how I was going to run away from this man and so on. And so the doctor left out, and I said, Lord, you know, this is something I prayed for. Now I'd finally gotten kind of attached to the thought of being pregnant and all of these crossroads I'm being put at. What do I do right now? So I immediately started to cry and pray, and when the doctor left out, I think Susie came back in the room alone. Susie, are you here?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Susie came back in the room alone, and I think that she took maybe the door stopper away from my door, and she closed my door, and I think she let down some type of little window or curtain or something that was there. If I'm not mistaken, I was just so oblivious at that moment and just hysterical. I don't even really know exactly what happened. I just remember her coming in the room. And it was almost as if God had sent an angel there to soothe me, because God knows how much you can take. God knows when enough is enough. And he'll always send his angels in the forms of humans to be there for you when you're broken like that and when you really need somebody. I just felt like I didn't have anybody in the world I could confide in. I've always felt like I was strong. I was always the one that could help everybody. And not realizing the fact that I need someone sometimes too. And Susie came in, she began to pray for me and comfort me. And I remember crying to her saying, I just want to be near my mom right now. My mom was thousands of miles away in the South, and I'm here in California trying to set a life for myself. And I got this man I'm trying to divorce. It's like he will be there for me, but at the same time, tear my life apart. At the same time, I didn't want that, bring chaos in my life, but at the same time, be supportive of me. It just wasn't right. I just knew this wasn't the man I wanted to be with for the rest of my life. And Susie, you really blessed me at that moment, because I just felt hopeless. And the things that you said to me were so powerful. You don't even have a clue what I took from that hospital. I thought that I would leave in shambles. I actually thought I was going to go and commit suicide at that time. I did. But instead, the words that you said to me, the stuff you said to me was so powerful, especially about my child being in heaven, you know, and just the whole little situation with you being there for me and the way you hugged me. I felt the spirit of God so strong in that room. It just was not normal. It felt like I was having an out-of-body experience. And so once I left the hospital, I think Susan had given me a card with an organization called Safe Passage. And if I'm not mistaken, Safe Passage helps to empower and to restore women that's been through domestic abuse situations. And so I kept that card. Susie had been calling, trying to contact me even after I left the hospital. And I would talk to her every now and then, and I was so emotionally still kind of distraught about my marriage, trying to get out of that situation, trying to go ahead and complete my file for my divorce, and trying to, you know, help get myself back from, you know, my child, the situation about my child. I just didn't really want to talk to anybody, so I kind of isolated myself, locked myself away. I prayed a lot. I cried a lot. I broke down. I did a lot of stuff. I had anxiety attacks alone. I did a lot of things. I couldn't focus at that time. And so Susie had been contacting me. She even had people from St. Patrick's to contact me, and I was kind of putting everybody off. But something in my spirit told me, don't let go of that card. Don't lose that card. So everywhere I went, I kept that card with me. I don't care if I went out to a lounge for a whole year. If I switched purses to a small purse, like a little clutch, I would always put the card in there, because I felt like if I'm not feeling well, if something happens to me, if anything should happen to me where I feel like I'm not safe or where I feel like I'm too broken or I can't take life anymore, God used this woman. He's embedded an angel into this woman where I could easily pick up the phone, call her, or call this number she gave me. I felt safe, and I didn't even know her. And so, yeah, that's how I said. You don't know how your small gestures of doing God's will and ministering to people can impact somebody, but you just don't know. That's why I say it's imperative that we all know that we're all here to help each other. I tell people all the time, if you're not contributing to the betterment of this, of humanity. What is your purpose for being here? What is your purpose? And so basically I kept the number, and of course, you know, I've already studied business administration in Memphis, at the University of Memphis, but I came here and wanted to go for an associate in family and consumer studies. So upon taking these classes, I got to one of my classes. These are like my ending classes to graduate with the associates in that field, and I'm taking a class called Community Projects. And with Community Projects, there was, you have to basically do 25 hours of community service at a nonprofit organization of your choice. And I chose, I thought about Susan's card and the name of the organization she had spoken to me about, and I chose that organization, so I'd given them a call, and I didn't call Susie. I actually just called the number back of the card, and they told me I could come in. They interviewed me, and then we had about an hour-long conversation, and all of our spirits connected perfectly. And probably it had been a year, and one day they were having a meeting there, and I had seen Susan after a year of meeting her. I had seen her again for the first time. And if I'm not mistaken, I cried that day, or my eyes got really watery because I couldn't believe this was the woman that God had, you know, blessed to be there for me when I was broken and when I didn't feel like I had anybody. I felt like I had nobody to call. This is the woman that God used to be there to support me. And it was just a blessing to be able to see her again, and even her introducing me to Safe Passage has even been a blessing, because I've been pretty much getting blessings left and right just being at Safe Passage and getting all kinds of, you know, opportunities, people wanting my business to, you know, to do work with their organizations. I teach anger management, and I know there's a lot of different nonprofit organizations that could use those services, and just through Susan, it's like I'm getting all these opportunities now to, you know, to do business ventures with these companies, and I've never even heard of some of these companies. And that's what I tell people. Another thing is, like, we don't understand that. It's like God plays connect the dots with our lives. And if you just obey his will, submit to him, and if you just have the faith that he wants you to have, even when you're going through your trials, if you let God lead the way of those dots he's connecting, the picture will turn out so beautiful. But it's when
that's
you
right,
resist
Ashley.
And try to do it your own way. Man, that is how I feel. When you resist and try to do it your own way, that's when the picture turns out a little bit distorted. But I tell people, even the painful situations that we go through in our lives, even the painful situations are situations that God will set up for us to make us stronger, to make us into who we are today.
Ashley,
When you
say that God takes our painful situations and turns it around, I just want listeners to know that the woman I am today is because of all the painful situations I went through. And when I was a victim of domestic violence, there was nobody that I met in the hospitals that took my hand when I needed someone the most. And I had to endure that pain by myself. And so when I see someone suffering from the heart, now I see people suffering all the time with their body, but when I see someone's heart, because God will show it to me, it is something that I recognize because of the pain I went through. So when I saw you crying and you said, I want my mom, I'm a mom. I've had 7 children, 2 are in heaven. And so when I heard you say that, God said, you be her mom right now. You be her mother. You stand in the gap. So I had to obey the Holy Spirit that was talking to me. And so when I took you in my arms and you laid your head on my shoulder and you were sobbing, I knew that God was working and he was doing what only a mother could do on earth, and he used me to be your mom at that moment, because that's what touched your heart. It wasn't me in the flesh, it was God doing that. So I want people to know that if you're going through a trial right now, you just turn it around. You use what's happening in your life because God's going to use you in an amazing way. So God uses Ashley today because she learned that anger is a powerful tool if you turn it around and use it for God. So we're going to take a station break. And when we come back, we're going to listen how God used Ashley's situation when she was in her own way, and he turned it around to bless not only her life, but thousands and millions of people that she's going to touch, and it's going to go on, and it's going to go on just like the love of God that comes through me to other people goes on. So we're going to take a station break and be right back with Ashley.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing
Hello?
Do you have
Hello?
A heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlor Limited.com.
Hello, Soul System listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul System Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome back to Soul Sister Radio. I am Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. We're together today with Ashley, and we're going to be talking about anger management. And we live in a world where there's little patience and virtually no patience, no endurance. We have people who drive down the road and flip each other off because we forget to turn on our blinker, we're preoccupied, we're on our cell phones, or things happen. We are impatient with the person at the fast food place because it's not fast enough. We're impatient with our children. We're impatient with God. We are impatient people, and we express ourselves inappropriately at times. I'm a victim of this myself and have had to apologize for my behavior in the kingdom and on earth. So I just want you listening out there to take listen to Ashley's story on how she turned her anger issue around and is now fabulously making money doing it. So welcome back to the show, Ashley, and I want you to tell everybody what happened and what God did to bless you with this.
Okay, Anne. Okay, hello, everybody, new callers or new listeners. Actually, I had basically went through a situation where a guy, I was, you know, in cahoots with this guy that was scamming people out of thousands and thousands of dollars. Not only did he scam me out of money when I first got here in Los Angeles, not only did this man scam me out of money, he actually basically tried to just basically destroy my name, my reputation, and everything because I was trying to bring his business practice down because he was scamming thousands of innocent people. And, I mean, he was rich. This guy was driving the top dollar cars, $100,000 cars. That's how wealthy he was. And he had a little operation going on in L.A. of just hurting innocent people, basically making people feel like he could help them, and then really destroying their life, taking their last monies and destroying their lives. And at that time, he had basically had my last money, which was, this was about almost 3 years ago now. I basically heard that he was doing some stuff to me or scamming me and stuff like that, and I went into this guy's office to basically tell him how I felt. I wasn't going to hit him or do anything. I was wise enough not to hit him, but at that time, I didn't know that you could say something and get yourself into trouble. So I went into this guy's office, and when I mean I went berserk with my mouth, I don't think even, nothing could hold me at that moment. I was saying every curse word under the sun. Even as a Christian woman, I was doing this. I know it was wrong, but in that heat of the moment, I just allowed anger to just overtake me to the point where I was uncontrollable. I knew not to hit anybody, but I knew I had some words for him, and I wanted to make sure that all of his employees who were helping him scam were out of that office as well before the FBI came to take him down. And so I went into his office. I called him every scumbag, you scam artist, you this, you owe me money, blah, 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 blah. And within this conversation, I made a statement that I made a threat to him, a terroristic threat to him, what I was going to do to him if he didn't keep my name out of his mouth. He probably never was going to do it, but I made the statement because I was so in a rage at that moment. And I just wanted to just basically for his whole entire unethical practice to end. I was just in a rage. And so I had done that. And when I left the office that day, I got a call from a police officer at Los Angeles Police Department, LAPD, and they called me and just wanted to question me. So she asked me if 2 days later if I could come into the police department, if I could come in on, well, I think it was on a Monday it happened, and she asked me if I could come in on a Wednesday to speak with her, the detective. And I said yes, and I was very honest about everything. I'd never in a million years thought that me, innocent, considered myself as innocent, Ashley, could go to a police department. I'm dressed in this outfit. I just left work the day when I went to sit down with the detective. I had on a long librarian-looking dress with a light pink cardigan, a baby pink cardigan. I had pearls in my ears. I looked like somebody's teacher. And I went to this police department, and when I got ready to go back to speak to the detective, she said, we need to put the handcuffs on you. And I said, what, for what? I'm thinking I'm just going there to speak with her about the incident that happened. I was completely, I was just flabbergasted by the entire situation. When I got back there, I said, okay, well, maybe they need to just put the cuffs on me to walk me back. When I got to the back, she sat me down, and she said, we need to question you. What did you say to him? I told her the entire incident. I told her he had been scamming innocent people, blah, blah, blah. I felt like he scammed me, blah, blah, blah. I was just telling her, going on and on, and I told her, yes. Yes, ma'am, I was very honest. Yes, I did tell him I would knock his head off his neck, blah, blah, blah. And I was being honest about it. I thought that it was just simple. I'd go home after that. That didn't happen. That did not happen. What happened was they told me, now I'm being arrested. Now I'm being charged with a felony for a terroristic threat for one simple thing that came out of my mouth, which was, I'm going to knock your head off of your neck and set it on fire. That's what I said, actually. And with me seeing that one little thing, I didn't think that it would lead to me getting a felony charge. I didn't actually get the charge, but that's what they were trying to charge me with. And so they.
So what happened to you? Go ahead and tell them what goes on that you shared with me while you're there at the jail, and what God uses you to do there. Make sure you tell that story.
Firstly, so they took me in. They didn't take me actually into a prison or anything. They just took me into a holding cell for, I guess it was 48 hours until my court appearance. I couldn't tell anybody where I was because they had taken my phones and everything. I couldn't even make any phone calls. I think I'd made one phone call and let one person know. I think my whole family and friends, everybody was all in a panic because they couldn't believe what had happened to me. And everybody were in a rage because they kept saying it's a felony, no bun. What did this girl do to get such a big, huge, I said one little small thing, and that was it. That was it. I'm going to knock your head off of your neck, set it on fire. That was it. Nothing more. I go, when they arrested me, I'm crying. I'm in the back of the police car. I'm crying. I'm like, what? He's the thief. He's scamming so many innocent people. He's a bad person. I didn't do anything. And then I'm just crying. That didn't mean anything to the justice system. Because when you admit to a crime, you have to do your time or you have to be punished for your actions. So these people took me to jail 48 hours. They checked me. And the crazy part, they let me keep on the same clothes. I didn't change into any jail clothes or anything. I still had on the clothes. I think maybe they took, no, they didn't take anything from me. Not only that, I was wearing a wig that day, and they didn't even take that off. They just texted me. Yeah, they did. they
that would have been scary.
I guess you remember Susie telling me they all look natural. They didn't even take that off. And so by the time I got there and I got checked into the cell, they were doing a street sweep of in L.A. at nighttime of the prostitute area. They had me in a cell with probably 7 to probably 10 prostitute and female drug dealers or women that were fighting, whatever they were doing, but a lot of them were prostitutes. They came in tight clothes, and they reeked of just ungodly things. That's all I can say about that. But when they came in, all of these women, I was so scared. Those 48 hours that I was there, I wouldn't drink. I wouldn't use the bathroom. I wouldn't eat. I wouldn't do anything. I jumped up all night. I prayed all night. I cried. I trembled. I'm sleeping on this hard cot. I was in disbelief because that had never happened to me in my life. I had problems when I was a teenager with fighting and stuff like that, but never slept overnight in a jail cell in my life. Never. Come to Los Angeles, and that's what happened to me. So while I'm there, something in my spirit said, you know, Ashley, stop being sad. This was probably like the day before I was getting ready to leave, if I'm not mistaken, the day that we were going to court. For some reason, I saw this one young lady. She looked really young. She looked like she was about 16, but I'm guessing she was about 19. I think she told me she was 19 at that time. She gravitated towards me because I guess she could see my demeanor. She could see God in me, I'm assuming. Because I was very quiet, and I stayed to myself. All I could do was pray and look sad. I wouldn't talk back to them because I wasn't really having conversations with them. So she came to talk to me. She told me why they all were there, and they had been, you know, prostituting and blah, 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 blah. And she was just telling me everything that had happened with them, and she told me that she didn't want to do it anymore. She had been forced into that lifestyle. And I'm just looking at her, and I said, how old is she? She's telling me I'm 19. She was crying. This little girl was sobbing just as the story earlier with me sobbing on Susie's shoulder. This young lady was sobbing and crying to me in a manner that I hadn't seen, and all I could think about was my own sisters. I love my sisters so much. I couldn't imagine someone forcing my sisters into prostitution and them not having somebody there to pull them out of that. And so I told her, I said, you know what, when we get out of here, I had faith that God was going to get me out of this situation. I said, when we get out of here, what I'm going to do, so I'm going to give you whatever money I have left once I pick up my money from the front, because they had taken my money and everything. They took my bag, my, of course, all of my stuff when you get checked into into a holding cell. And I said, I'm going to give it to you, and I will give you money to get to wherever you need to go to get to your family. She said she had a sister in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. And I basically told her that, and the little girl told me she wanted it, and I stood up. But something in my spirit to give and pray. Do you know I had a prayer circle in that jail cell? A prostitute, filled with prostitutes. So at that time, that what I felt was something painful happening to me and something, you know, unjust happening to me. Wherever you are, that's where God wants you to be most of the time. That is where God wants you to be. It's because God wanted me there at that specific time to do what I did that day. I was in a prayer circle praying with prostitutes. These girls were dressed almost nude, like they were getting ready to do pornographic films. And I began to pray and cry out to God. And when I mean, I probably have one or two that would stand off and said, I'm not thinking about her or is she going to pay my bill? They were being rebellious against. They were resistant. But I know they heard my prayers because I was praying loud enough for them to hear me. I wanted them to know that somebody cared and there's a God out there that's watching over all of us. If you have faith in God and if you trust him, he'll walk you through any situation. There's no devil in hell that can stop what God has for you unless you allow him to.
Amen.
When you have faith in God, you got everything. When you're doing the will of God, you have everything. You don't have to worry about anything else. I don't care what's happening in your life. I don't care what seems impossible. I don't care. That's what faith is about. That's faith is believing something without seeing it. That means if you're sitting up there going through something in your life and you don't trust God to take you through it, let's not kick him in the butt and saying, okay, I'm going to pray about it, you know, but I'm still going to worry about it. You don't trust God. You don't. So my whole thing is the situation is sometimes, like I said, told you earlier, Susan, sometimes it's like even the most painful things in our lives. Don't fret. Don't be afraid. It's like God is playing connected dots with our lives. Everything that he allowed to happen happens to make the big picture. And when we trust him and let him lead, the big picture always turns out beautifully. But it's when you try to do it your way that the picture becomes distorted. And I just cannot stress that enough. And so a long story short is about the situation about the jail situation. So I ended up going to court. I can jump around, you guys, excuse me. But I should, when God takes over, it's like I have no control. So I'm going to court, and they ended up dropping the case to a misdemeanor when I went to court because I was sobbing in front of the judge. I was just upset about the whole situation. I went to court, and that little girl also that I prayed for, the one that came to me and started the prayer circle, actually that got me to, that provoked me to start the prayer circle, she actually got off and got out. Because they didn't have any proof of anything on her. I just saw her out there at that time when they were doing the sweeps. But they ended up telling me, Ashley, the judge told me this is your first offense. You've never been in trouble. What we're going to do is give you 24 hours of anger management. And once you do those 24 hours, we're going to throw the case out. You don't have to worry about a misdemeanor. You don't have to worry about anything. They dropped it to a misdemeanor, like when I first went to court. But they told me she was going to throw it out, so I went ahead and completed 24 hours of anger management. And this is how good God is and how God can turn lemons into lemonade for you. I was basically working, because I think I worked for a media company at that time, if I'm not mistaken. I started working for a media company or something. But I think, to be exact, it was Bunzai Media. And at that time, I said, you know, God, what am I going to do? Why am I spending my money when this guy is scamming all the people? He needs to be in trouble. God, I just went in there to defend myself. But from a Christian standpoint, I knew I was wrong for going into the office cursing and saying the things that I said because I just couldn't control myself at that time. I didn't have any discipline. But God not only taught me discipline from that situation, he blessed me through that situation. That was so painful for me to have to endure. I'm going through problems because of this guy that's scamming people. So, long story short, I went to the anger management classes. I'm sitting here watching this anger management specialist who I felt was not really nurturing to his clients, was not doing a good job. He just was, it just felt like he was doing it for the money. And I'm listening to him. And I knew I'd already been to college. And I had enough college credits to pursue something like this. And I'm watching all of this money this guy is making. He was, if you can calculate this, so he had maybe 20 clients in one room. Each client was paying him maybe $50 to $40, probably $40 to $50 each time we came there. Because we did 2 hours every time we came, and we came like 3 or 4 times a week. So okay, if you can calculate that, 20 clients per session, but if we stay to 2 hours and you pay per hour. So we're all paying him $50 at that time. So if you can calculate that, that's how much he made in a day. And you calculate it by weeks and months. And I saw that and I said, well, this is a very profitable business, and I feel like I can really help people. Because I kind of mentor the people anyways in my regular life. And I said, and I do it for free. And I said, Lord, I have my necessary college education, and then I can go through a certification program to get certified. So what I did was started researching. I started watching his money, and I said, I'm going to start me an anger management business, and I'm going to do it better than this. I'm going to nurture people. I'm going to really get to the souls of people, to the core, from their childhood up, and I really want to help people. It wasn't even really – it was kind of about the money because I needed – I live in Los Angeles. It's extremely expensive to live here, and I really did not like working for people. And so I said, you know what, God? Just let me say, I didn't even think about the guy that had gotten in trouble anymore. I kind of had blocked that out of my memory. God had blocked that out because he had my eyes on the prize, on what he really had me for, the blessings that he had coming from what it was like a parent. You know, when a parent whips you or they reprimand you for doing something, you know, you shouldn't be doing, they always come back and they still show you love later. And that's what God did to me. He disciplined me for going into the office doing what I did. But at the same time, he's nurturing me and showing me, you know, the blessing that he's trying to, you know, get me out of the situation. And so, long story short, I started researching how to get into being an anger management specialist. I found out about the National Anger Management Association. I found out what I needed to do. I contacted the head of the organization, and they told me how I could get certified. First, they told me I didn't even meet all the qualifications, the education qualifications. But they started pulling all of my transcript scripts from the schools I went to. Not only did I have enough college hours, I had more than enough college hours to complete the situation. So not only that, they told me they would take my college hours, because I hadn't completed my degree program because I had switched majors several times and I had so many college hours, they took that. They made me take their certification program. They made me take more anger management classes just to get the learning experience. But I took them from different entities from the first guy that I had taken them from. I completed my hours. They threw the court case out to get that behind me. They threw the court case out. So I completed 24 hours. But then I started taking hours for my certification. I took off to Arizona, paid all the money that I needed to take, went to Arizona to go through the certification program through the National Anger Management Association. And within 2 weeks of coming back from that program, I had my certification in the mail. I was a certified anger management specialist. I ended up
as part of your program, you have to do some hours. And so you ended up taking the card I gave you.
Yes.
And why don't you tell what you're doing with that?
Oh, with the card. Oh, okay. I'll tell with that. Let me see. I guess you kind of threw me off a little bit, Susan. I'm trying to figure out where I am here now. You might have ADD here, so I...
It's okay. Take a deep breath.
You know I can talk. When I start, it's hard to stop me. Because I'm just so happy and just excited to talk about
this. I want to show the listeners how God uses what you're doing. And let me tell them, you have this card that I give you, and you held on to it all this time. And now you're in classes, so you end up calling Safe Passage, and you're doing volunteer hours for Safe Passage, the organization on the card, and I come in and find you there and find out that you're still standing for God and the prayers were answered and you're using everything that God has given you full circle. So for our listeners out there, this story is true, and the reason I'm letting her talk so much is so that you know it's not a preempted thing. It's not something we plan to do. This is true, and this is how God uses real people to do real things for him. We are angels on earth. God has no hands but ours, and so I want you to know if when you get out of your own way, you open a door for God to work. And so I want you guys to know when you get up in the morning, you say, God, what is my assignment today? And he'll give it to you. And I want you to know that I wrote these things that happened to me, my assignment every day, in a book called The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. And you can get this book on ZulonBooks.com, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. You can get it in ebooks, Kindle. But I want you to get that book, and I want you to read it, and then I want you to give it to a nurse, because the anointing of mercy is what you get that helps you, with the Holy Spirit, do the job you are called to do. And if you do not have the anointing of mercy, you are in the wrong profession. So Ashley is just an amazing girl. And you see her picture there on Facebook. She is this tiny little beautiful girl that you would not think that all this vulgarity came out of her mouth. But God recruits her and uses her like no other woman I've ever met. And she's young enough to be my daughter. I love her to death, and I want you to know she's going to give us her information, how to get a hold of her. If you have any anger issues, you need to know that it's not okay to take your anger out on someone else. And God forgives us, yes, but I want you to use her tools and get a hold of her. And so if you're court appointed to go to anger management, if there's any men abusers, women abusers, child abusers, any abuser out there that has anger, you need to get a hold of your anger and get in a program and then let God work in your life. So I'm going to turn it back over to Ashley. We have a few minutes left on our show. So Ashley, take a deep breath and give us the resources to get a hold of you, because I just know that God is really using you big time. And you were on, whose show were you on? Tyra Banks?
Yes, I was.
You've been on the Tyra Banks show, and we're going to have you on our TV show when we come out with our show soon. And I just want listeners to know that we're real people, and we're not just sitting back letting life go by because of some tragedy. This is how you become victorious. You pick up your bed and go, just like Jesus said to the man laying by that water all these years. He said, get your bed and go. Get up. You can walk. You
yeah.
need some. To push you in the pool, get yourself up and go. And so that's where I want you to lead off with this, Ashley. Take it away.
Okay, and long story short about the whole thing about me going through anger, having to go through anger management, that was about 2 years ago. And God blessed me at the end of 2011 to not only I got my certification, to as soon as I got my certification, I didn't think about anything because God had already shown me what he had prepared for me through he punished me, but then blessed me, because that's what a loving God do. He's our Father. That's what they do. When you do something wrong, he'll punish you, but at the same time, he'll love and nurture you, you know, at the same time. And so I ended up 2 weeks later after getting certified, coming back from Arizona, I got my certification from New York, actually, in the mail, because they're based in New York, the National Anger Management Association. And I went and looked for an office, and when I went and looked for an office, probably within 3 days of looking, I had an office space. I had gotten my keys, everything, paid all the fees I needed to pay, went and got a business license, and went and got insurance. I got furniture. I didn't even have a lot of money at that time, so I think I went online on some of these advertisements, and I brought secondhand furniture, and I decorated my office really nice. I set my own office up, and I went to the courts. I went out to all the entities to get clients from, and I connected my business with attorneys, public defenders. I connected with the courts, all legal officials in my area, and I started getting calls left and right for business. And I had people coming in. I was seeing people from every ethnicity you could think of. I started seeing all kinds of people from all walks of life, husbands and wives, and I decided not only was I helping people with anger management, I started to minister to people in other ways. Once you know, you can't enforce your religion or Christianity onto everybody. So I try to ease myself into people's, you know, lives to see if they're a believer or not. And I start telling them about the goodness of God. And even when they're not believers, sometimes I try to open them up to, you know, hearing about the goodness of God. And I just tell them about what God did for me. And I'm very open and honest with them because I want to get to the core of what's really going on with people. And so God used me as a vessel, just as he used Susie as a vessel to help me, as she's done. God used me as a vessel, and not only has Susie helped me, you know, with getting past, not even just getting past losing my child, but kind of healing me from that situation, me holding onto her car for a year after meeting her, but no contact from her really, until a year later, I decided to go back to school again for an associate's in family and consumer studies I wanted it to kind of go hand in hand with my anger management certification, because it's like in social work. So I wanted to kind of work with the government as well. And so I went back to school for that, and I was taking a class. I'm taking a class still now, community project, where I needed to choose a nonprofit organization. And I chose Safe Passage, and that's from a card that Susie, which is the host you guys are listening to, Susie had given me a year ago when I met her. I had met her one time, and that was at the hospital when I was losing my child. She's also a nurse. And I held onto that card, and I called Safe Passage when I needed the organization to work with and asked them if I could volunteer for them. I needed to do 25 hours. Upon going there for my 25 hours, I ended up sitting in with the founder and the, I think, what is she, the director, Linda Ray? Susie?
Yes.
Okay, the director. I ended up sitting in with them, and we had such an amazing spiritually connected conversation that first meet, and we were locked in that office for about an hour and just talking about everything you could think of pertaining to women's empowerment and helping women, you know, become better in life and so on, and spirituality. And upon that meeting, not only did I get blessed with, yes, they allowed me to come work with such a profound organization, they also wanted me to partner with them and do some things. And not only that, I had other, upon going to different events that they had sponsored, I had other people that were affiliated with them that wanted me to work with their organizations as well and, you know, partner with them and work with their clients as well with my anger management services. So that is how God works. You think one situation is to hurt you or to harm you, which is me getting arrested when I first came to Los Angeles and all that stuff happening to me, over something so small, God turned it into something for my good. I thought it was the devil at first. And when I looked at the big picture, I'm like, look at this, how beautiful this picture's turning out. Because I'm like, allowing God to lead, I'm trusting him. I could have just fell under and just been distressed and just said, you know, I give up. Because there were times where I wanted to commit suicide. And there was such, God was so strong over me and just blessing me with good people in my life, such as Susie, Trish, Linda, and everybody else that's in my life that are, you know, there as vessels from God to be there as a support system. Why I don't have my close family and friends here in LA. I have family in Los Angeles, but I'm not that close to them. I'm not as close to them as I could be or should be. And I'm just blessed, and I'm just so grateful. So no matter what you're going through, all you have to do is trust God. Obey his will, trust him, and that's it. The rest will fall in place. I don't care how bad the situation seems. I don't care who tells you you can't do it or who tells you you can't overcome it. Whatever. Trust God. All your faith should be in God.
Amen.
Again, faith is
Amen.
I just want to
thank you, Ashley. We have about 2 minutes, and I just want to thank you so much. And again, that web address for Safe Passage is www.safepassagelives.org. And you can get a hold of Ashley there. You can get a hold of me there. You can get a hold of Linda Dolson and the founder, Trish Steele. I just wanted to read very quickly for our listening audience in Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 7. Fulfill your vow to God. Guard your steps when you go into the house of God. Go near, listen, rather than offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. A dream comes when there are many cares and many works. Words mark the speech of a fool. So when you vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It's better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. So I just want to say to all you listening out there, if you've ever vowed to God that you're going to do something, if you have an assignment that God's given you to do and you keep saying, well, when I get enough money, when I do this, when this happens, I want you to know God's waiting for you to do it against all odds. And every obstacle that comes in your way, make it a mountain that you're going to overcome. So I just want to say thank you, God, for all those listening. Thank you for all those who've come before us right now to be restored. I ask you, God, to use
each and every man and woman and child out there who's been a victim of domestic violence. I ask God for beauty for ashes for each and every one of you. Thank you, God, for covering us in our sins. We're quick to give it to you, God, and we don't want it to return back to us. So as you say that you'll take our sin from the east and the west and the north and the south and it never comes back, I just give it to you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to our show. This has been Susan Shengazar, the Advocate, and I will see you next week here with Mel Novak, actor Mel Novak, a mighty man of God who carries a sword and every demon is afraid of. So don't worry. Come back to our show next week, and we will bless you again. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the app. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome back to Soul Sister Thursday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan. Becky, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
You know, we've had a very, very interesting day. There's some technical difficulties going on with Blog Talk, but we're here.
Oh, well, I was hearing the call earlier today, and we find that the enemy likes to attack us most when we have some good word.
You think?
Yes.
Yes, I do believe so. But I'm excited because I after the show, I'm going to give you all the passwords to our website because we have brand new analytics on it. So I'm excited for you to tell me what all that means when we finally get into it so I can see what you're teaching me.
Well, you were putting it on the website itself, or are you putting it through the radio show? Or
no,
are you trying to monitor?
It's through the website, not through Blog Talk. Blog Talk only has certain analytics, but in order for them to get to the show, they're going through Soul Sister Radio, which clicks them into Blog Talk. So they are hitting the page, the front page first. So that's where all the analytics come off of, correct?
Yes. And then that way you can track both. So that's good. And then it goes into Google Analytics, and there's applications that if people use WordPress, there's a lot of free ones out there that they can just add. They go right into their WordPress console. And you can add a download, and it allows people as the most simple ones. You've ended up having XYZ viewers today from these locations, and they saw this many pages. So it's very simple. It's easy to use, and it's extremely simple for setting up. So that's great because then we get the analytics, and we also have the ability to go into Google Analytics and find out how we can reach more people, what terms they're coming in, and provide a better benefit.
All that exciting stuff. Well, for our new listeners, because we do have new listeners here, I see, that are popping up on the screen, why don't you share who you are and what Women on the Edge is all about?
Women on the Edge is all about the latest technologies, helping with our relationship, and together as women, when we feel like we're on the edge, at least we're all together and there's ways to get through it. And we like going into a little bit more of the online, the virtual sphere of today's reality. And a lot of people are going on Facebook. They're going into LinkedIn. They're going beyond the Google search. And it's probably one of the second biggest year for senior citizens to even get on. And last time we talked, we were talking about how people that are, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s are starting to get online.
Yeah.
I think that it's a way to connect to your family in such a busy go, go, go kind of atmosphere. This isn't small town. I don't know. I would go and say the Midwest, but the Midwest is populated.
Yeah.
So I can't go, you know, I grew up in the Midwest, but we don't have Mayberry days. We don't have the little town that people grew up and met their love of their life and raised all their kids, grandma, grandpa, and, you know, generation after generations around. Nowadays, you could be in different countries.
Yeah.
So we have ways to do it. What we're talking about is keeping it clean online, how to utilize maybe things that we do in day-to-day life, like calling people up, connecting. If people were in sales, they'd want to build and nurture relationships. And we're talking about how to do that online. We've investigated areas for checking to see maybe there's bad stuff out there. And we went through hitting some things like, do we go into Spokio, where you can go and find your address and everything?
No, we didn't go. Did we go into that?
I don't know. I talk about it all the time. It's one of my favorite ones, so I kind of worry.
I don't think we have. I don't think we have.
We can save that one for, like, investigating and maybe doing, like, a dating one, checking up on our kids, boyfriend, girlfriend. If you're a single woman that's out there, a business lady, and she'd like to investigate who she might be dating, or he's looking at investigating people, come up with the tools. If
that's
they're
a
not
whole
out there,
show on itself.
Yeah. And if they're not out there, we can think about other things. We could even have some fun talking about, we should probably even grab some women. What did you find while you were cyber snooping?
Exactly. Wow. That's
I am going to add one thing on that. The cutest image that popped up was a joke, and it said, oh, my goodness, I just got caught cyber snooping. And then the next image goes, how can you get caught cyber snooping? You're on your own computer. She goes, I kept liking all of his images. I was like,
okay.
Oh, no. So she went onto somebody's profile and started liking or commenting. Yeah, no, you've got to be a little careful when you're going to be snooping. And
right.
I even have my own where I cyber snooped and blew it. I ended up mentioning things that only somebody who would have been cyber snooping would have known. So
okay. We'll
save that for more fun. We'll pull together and rally. Maybe we should even get some like Jimmy James and stuff and pull some people in and hear some stories.
Yeah, that would be fun. Hey, what's trending as far as today, especially with these explosions that are going on? And how is all that affecting businesses and what's going on?
How close are we to commercial?
We've got some time. We've got at least 7 minutes.
7 minutes. I went into Women on the Edge, and I posted some stuff on this. I posted one of the first videos that they had, which was kind of disheartening. But today, I guess the biggest one is the Boston Bombers. They believe that they have two pitchers. And so I put that on Women on the Edge on Facebook. So please go on in and look at it. It's one of the top stories. This is just horrific. These people's lives have changed. And if you go on to Women on the Edge, the very first post is with a man that lost both of his legs, and he was running for a charity. Have you heard about the story?
No, go ahead, tell me.
Well, let me go into it in a nicer way. If we focus on the bad, I feel that whoever went out and did this is hoping for
they win. Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm trying to tread here, and I don't know how well I'll do. But people pulled together. Even while the fires were going on, people were running in, pulling people away. As sickening, as scary, I couldn't imagine seeing 30 feet in the air of fire smoke, feeling that people were complaining that they couldn't hear because of the explosion. The first reports were all shrapnel, and I think that's what they're calling a crockpot bomb.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
These people were brutally hit by something bigger than a hand grenade.
Yeah, wow.
So, but people ran in. These weren't all firemen. These weren't police officers. These were people that were actually even running.
Mm-hmm.
And they grabbed them. The sweetest story, and I'm unable to get it right now. I heard it on the radio. Was about a man and his daughter who actually were both off. Apparently, it's a holiday in Boston. And when this had happened, this kind of a bitter, sweet story, and I'm blessing this man, and I want everybody else to bless this man. And how I'm telling it, because I'm going to try to serve it correctly, but from what I recall, him and his daughter were having a taco stand. And he has been hurting through the economy, and he had been waiting and waiting to see if he can make it through to the Boston Marathon, sell mm-hmm. enough money, pay some bills,
mm-hmm.
bought extra food, begged, borrowed, and him and his daughter were ready to start handing out tacos, doing water. It was a physical business, and at the end of the day, when he saw all of this, he gave away all of the tacos free, gave away all of the water free, set up a line for people to call out on his landline, and I'm just hoping that he'll be able to pay this month's rent, but
right.
he's at peace with it. His daughter is the nice kick. Apparently, she learned a lot from her dad, because she started wrapping up the tacos, putting them in bags, and putting in their messages either on the bags, in the bags, or writing on the tacos saying, no, God loves you. You will be all
wow.
right. There is a tomorrow. And
mm-hmm.
I believe they said she's like 8 years old. And I was like, wow,
wow,
like father, like daughter.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Isn't
wow, what an incredible
beautiful
story. Yeah, absolutely.
So pray for this person. I'm hoping that he's getting, you know, a financial reward, and most people shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
We're going to actually go into Epicurus. Have you heard of them?
No. What's that?
Okay. Epicurus has, it's a well-known website, and if we go on to Women on the Edge again, I did post it. Epicurus has a Twitter account. And while this was going on, somebody managing their Twitter account felt that doing trending words like the Boston bombing and different things, plus putting in links to their website, would get more people to go to their website and sell and make money. Now, unlike the taco guy, I'm praying that he does and that
right.
he pays his bills, or that God will lead him somewhere else. With Epicurus, their very first tweet within, it was 8:30 in the morning, when did the bombing go off? Was it at 8?
I have no idea what time.
Well, get this. And this is their tweet. In honor of Boston and New England, may we suggest whole grain cranberry scones. Next. Now, the bombing has gone off for sure. Boston, our hearts are with you. Here's a bowl of breakfast energy we can all use right now.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
What? And it continues, and people are so appalled. They were writing back. This is a big, well-known magazine, all these recipes. Now, I have to say that I just switched. As nice as this message might be.
Wow.
They're fuming mad. And their social media person thought by grabbing words like Austin and Marathon that they could get a whole bunch of people following and tweeting and retweeting. But telling them to go in and have a bowl full of energy after this, you know somebody wasn't thinking.
Yeah. Wow.
I think what they did
incredible.
Is they went into trends and they saw Boston and Marathon and they started typing, oh, in honor of Boston.
Oh,
look, New England's trending.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I apologize for all my tech friends that might not be watching the news.
Oh, Lord, no kidding. Wow, that's pretty crazy.
No,
let's see what's out of it.
What have you been hearing about the bombing?
Well, you know what? It's interesting when you don't – I just moved in to a new place, and so I don't have cable, and we're not watching any TV. And what I'm getting is just through what social media is throwing out. And so I'm getting what I'm seeing on social media alone. And I find it very interesting. And then, boom, the next explosion in Texas. And I just find all this – the older that I get, it feels like I live in the Truman Show more and more. And I wonder if our grandparents felt that way when they got our age. You know? Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking, to them, they'd probably go and say this would be equal to television. I am on the edge where I'm Generation X.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is baby boomer.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff is, I think, the last year of baby boomer, so I'm a little too close to both.
Right.
I don't know what hers would be. Maybe it'd be rock and roll, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and here we are today.
Yeah.
I don't know, but great, our grandparents. I'll go with the grandparents. Go on.
I wonder if they ever felt that we were living in the Truman Show, where sometimes I feel that things are orchestrated and things just are happening just in crazy ways, and I don't believe in coincidences. So I find it very strange right now. The world is in a very, very strange place. And it's reminiscent to the early 60s. When all of the chaos was going on in the world and the Berlin Wall went up and just everything was really kind of strange in the early 60s. And I feel like we're going through the same kind of era again in a weird kind of way. So, you know, that's
my spin. I think that we're almost waiting for another Hitler.
It's something. Something is getting ready to brew, and it's kind of crazy and strange all at the same time. And government's kind of taken over, and it's totally different than when I grew up. And I grew up in the early 80s, and so it's just really strange. It's really strange. But let's take a commercial break, and we will be right back. Maybe not. Yeah, we're having technical difficulties, and I don't hear any of the music or any of the sound. Did you, Becky?
No.
Yeah,
maybe we should just talk about the sound.
Keep going.
Quietly.
we
should make bloopers now.
I know. All good. But we will be having some guests on the show next week. She was supposed to be calling in. She was supposed to call in last week, and we didn't get the show. But she called, and she was from a company, and I can't remember what that company is now. But she is going to be calling in and talking to you about something that I wanted you to know all about, and I can't believe that I can't remember it. And since we did the show after, but it was a company that was calling me about doing some kind of online marketing. So next week, hopefully, her name is Lauren, and so hopefully she'll call back next week. So who knows? But one of the things that I had asked you about as far as what was going on in the world is there was something that was happening And I wanted you to watch the trending of when it came to what Bill Cosby had to say. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and it was something about countries that hate America, though, I thought we were. It was.
Exactly. And his spin on the whole thing, but that was one of the things. But again, you've been off for a couple of weeks, and so having you back is pretty cool. What's been going on in your world over there in the SEO world?
Let me go and tell you about what was going on. My son went into boot camp.
Oh, how did that go?
In the Marines. I was tearful, emotional. I want to get a puppy.
Okay. Oh, Lord.
Or a couple. When Lily was odd, because there was one time, and I think this is kind of funny, I totally support him. I support our soldiers. I support our military. And we support our police. But having somebody go off in a way where I can't just immediately call him, hear his voice, no, it's awkward. And we went into the facility where he's going to be going, and they're going to have the orientation. They take a picture, they swear him in, and then he gets on a bus. And in front of one of the commanders, I go, okay, so is this intake? And he goes, this is in prison.
Oh, that's funny.
And then when I looked around, I go, we have glass walls, cannot enter.
It looks like a prison.
I felt like it was a prison.
Yeah, no kidding. And then your son goes on the other side, and that's it.
Well, you want to know how happy he was? They woke him up at 4:30 in the morning. They took him the night before, but they swore him
really?
In the following day. And I guess that's kind of, you know, we're so close to Paris Island. I guess they're waiting for the people to get off the airport in Atlanta to merge with them and get on the bus and then go.
Gotcha.
So he still had to go the night before and stay at a hotel with all these other people. And when we went down there at, I don't know, 10 in the morning, I said, CJ, how do you feel? He's elated. He goes, Mom, they fed me last night. And this is, you know, people are in earshot. They fed us at 4:30 in the morning. I go, you got up at 4:30 in the morning? He goes, yes, but I went to bed at 7. I go, okay. And he goes, and then we got here, we had food again. I go,
wow,
wonderful. And he goes, and I just got a snack. And in 20 minutes, I get to have lunch. And when we leave here on the bus, they're taking us to Cracker Barrel. And I go, that's as if you never ate. And he goes, it's just the coolest thing, Mom. And I'm like, don't be telling people this. People are going to think I never feed you.
Oh, no, that's funny. But here's the thing. He's eating a lot now, but they're going to be working him out. So eat up.
Well,
eat up.
Well, I haven't heard from him yet. They sent a letter, but it was from the sergeant, and I just got that last night. I don't think they give them stamps. My son's name is CJ, it's his nickname. I don't think they give them stamps or envelopes. I'm guessing because why would his sergeant send it?
Yeah,
have
they
you
probably
ever heard
don't.
It?
No.
And if anybody out there is a military mom, please let me know because I'm about to go and send envelopes and stamps.
Oh, no, you do. You want to send envelopes, stamps, and care packages. And when my son went to Afghanistan, we had to send him all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, all that neat stuff.
Oh, really?
They appreciate
so he didn't
it
get
too.
It?
Oh, yeah. No, nothing. So send everything. Everything you think of. Baby wipes. Send lots and lots of baby wipes. They like baby wipes. Really.
Is it kind of like a shower?
Pardon me?
Washing your hands? Is it because you don't have much time taking showers?
Just baby wipes. Well, my son was in Afghanistan, so just baby wipes. He likes baby wipes. Who knows? Who's to say? But who knows?
Well,
so we've got, about,
maybe we'll
we've
go
got about 5 minutes left.
Well, I'd like to hit up about Twitter. And
okay,
I'm still not to my one whole month of buying Twitter people. Mm-hmm. However, I have noticed that almost every day they follow about 300 more people that don't follow me back. And they told me to wait and see, wait and see. I have ended up getting about 600 people. So okay. If this continues, quality. So if this continues next week, I'm going to go and announce it. We'll see. However, let's go to LinkedIn. Do you remember how I told you to clean up your LinkedIn? And do you think our users
yes.
would like to know about how to inflate their reputation on LinkedIn?
I think so.
Okay. I have posted a group that within 1 hour, I end up getting 100 active LinkedIn people and over 40-some people liking and endorsing every one of my skills.
How?
I know. Okay, so let me go in first. For people that are on LinkedIn, you want to be over 500. Now,
okay.
Granted, I'm way above 500. I've been doing a lot of trade shows. I've been collecting a lot of business cards, and my business was sales. So
okay.
putting in emails and everything else was very easy for me.
Okay.
But I've helped out other people, and getting over 30 people can be a pain in the butt. Getting to 100 can seem like months away, years.
Right.
And especially if you have to get over 500 before they believe you have any influence to be found on searches.
Mm-hmm.
So, one, how would you like to get probably about 500 people in the next couple weeks?
That would be good.
Sign into your LinkedIn, and in the search box up in the upper right-hand corner, and there is a link to the group on Facebook on Women on the Edge.
Okay.
But you will have to be signed in first to LinkedIn to use the link. But if you're in LinkedIn, you can just type in the search box in the upper right-hand corner of LinkedIn and say open, O-P-E-N, endorser.
Okay.
And E-N-D-O-S-E-R, right? You will get this group. And they have the emails already in there. So everybody that's in there needs to inflate. And there's videos on there about why it's so important to have endorsements of your skills, how many people
right.
are looking for it. When people look at your web page, you want, you know, like you send somebody to your company site, you want information there. And
mm-hmm.
when they go to your LinkedIn, they want to see your skills. They want to see endorsements. They want to see that you have people. So
right.
this is an artificial one, and I'd love to hear people's feedback. Yes, I've used it. Yes, I am using it. And I've ended up getting some quality people. We're talking back and forth.
Wow.
I was able to even help get 3 people some referrals for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So the people so far are either full-on sales. I've gotten a couple people that were in Turkey. They're asking me to endorse their SEO, their social media, and their capabilities, and I do question it because they don't even speak English. But
oh, Lord.
Yeah. But I did. I'm testing it out. I figure, you know, if anybody asks me, here's where I got it. And I think anybody that's out there right now that has a quality business, test it. I don't know if endorsements are this easy, how long they'll last, but right now it will help you be found. It'll help
right.
you get links out to the other sites, and it'll help you establish other contacts. So open endorsers on LinkedIn, and please tell me how you guys think about it. I also have on Twitter how to inflate your Twitter scores, and I did put in Twitter counter for buying about 1,000 people, which I did on Wednesday, and for $12.
Wow.
They have
okay.
another package, I think, for $15, and you get 10,000 people.
Wow. Okay, we got to talk about all that.
Yes, but it's on LinkedIn
yeah.
right now, so you guys can you
okay.
know look at it and do anything else, hon? Becky Ryan for Women on the Edge. And I love you guys. Please go in there and love to hear some of your feedback, positive or negative. I'd even like to hear your feedback on some of the top trendy news and how people have been trying to take advantage of it and what your thoughts are.
They can find you on Facebook.com/ yes, Women on the Edge. Where else can they find you?
Becky Ryan, Maria. Having fun with Maria DiDivani, Women on the Edge Soul Sister Radio.
And
we need music right here. Tell Jimmy music right now.
Well, the music isn't working, so Blog Talk, we have a huge thing saying we are experiencing a major outage that could last a few hours. If you have a show, reschedule it for tonight, but we didn't. So so we have a little bit of technical difficulties, but we will see you next week on Women on the Edge at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Thursdays. Becky, we will see you next week. Thank you so much for choosing SoulSisterRadio.com. See you next week. Bye.
Soul.